Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to the brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here every weekday to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners, and we want to hear from you to know what's on your mind today. Is it a Bible passage, a personal issue, a problem at work or at school? Maybe you're concerned and uncertain about, lack of a better term, the current political distress in the U.S. Whatever the question or the circumstance, we'd like to talk with you about it right now. So the phone lines are open for you at 844-322-2742 in both the U.S. and Canada. Whatever the question, whatever the issue, we invite your calls now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is an exciting week for us. This is conference week here at Basic Gospel.
Indeed.
Our conference starts on Friday, October the 15th, and goes through Sunday the 17th. And we have folks coming in from all over this country. Somebody's flying in from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Wish we could go there to have the conference.
Go back with them.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. But we have folks from the Northeast. We have folks from Florida and the Midwest and California. And we are looking forward to a great time this weekend. And here's why I mention all that, because space is still available for you. If you would like to come and join us for the United Conference, we would love to have you. It starts Friday night. All the information on how you can register is available at basicgospel.net. So don't miss out on this wonderful event. I know it will be so gratifying and satisfying to your spiritual life to know who you are in Christ, and even more, to know who Christ is in you.
In you, absolutely. I'm certainly looking forward to it, Bob. And as you say, people coming in from all over, and that's a thrill to our hearts.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're talking about God Without Religion, Andrew's book, and that's available to anyone who gives to Basic Gospel this month, our way of saying thank you. But this word religion, we have religions out there, and that's a category. So we put Christianity and Judaism, and we put Buddhism, and all of these, they're religious belief systems. Yeah. They're religions. But when we're talking about religion, we're talking about man-made stuff that comes out of the mind, the imagination of man, and we put it out there as the way to reach up to God. Mm-hmm. Now, where did that begin? Where did it have its origins? Well, we have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, back to Genesis chapter 3. So the first two chapters are the creation story. We end chapter 2 with God saying, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. So it's the instituting of marriage. Yeah. And so we see that right from the beginning. And then the next chapter, we see a serpent in the middle of the garden at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he's doing his best to persuade Eve to take a look, to take a fresh look at this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Mm-hmm. So there's the sin. There's what happened. That's the very act that plunged all of mankind into the snares of sin and death. Now it says, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. There's the first religious act recorded in human history. This came out of Adam and Eve's mind. This was from their imagination. This was a way for them to cover their shame so that they could remain in good relationship with God the Father. Well, it didn't work.
Right.
Because when they heard God roaming in the garden in the cool of the day, so the scripture says, it says that Adam and Eve hid from God. And so God calls out, where are you? And they finally respond, and they said, we heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So religion can't do anything about the fear that sin puts in the heart of man. It cannot get rid of that. Only the righteousness of God, only the gospel of Jesus Christ can change us from the inside out. So when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, something happened to them inside. They became corrupt on the inside, and all of us coming into this world are marked by that same corruption. And so with that, we have a natural fear of God. We have a natural fear of his punishment. And from that fear, we create religious activities in order to cover that over, in order to cover over our shame, so that we can stand before God, so that we can make ourselves acceptable to God. Well, none of that will do. And that's why God had to take an animal, had to kill that animal, and use the skin to clothe them. Sin brings about death. For something to be transformed out of that, it's going to take the death of another one that can release us from the bonds of sin and death so that we can experience new life in Christ Jesus. So where did religion start? It started in the garden. Sin was the impetus for it, and the fear that sin put in the hearts of Adam and Eve caused them to make fig leaves to cover themselves. That was the first religious act, and man has been engaged in religious activities ever since. But praise be to God that God so loved us that he sent Jesus into this world, that through him, by believing in him, we can have eternal life.
That is the good news of the gospel. Thanks, Bob, for sharing those thoughts. And people, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. The number 844-322-2742 is open, wide open right now for those of you who live in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, remember, it's only because you give that others might hear, believe, and live in the eternal truth of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. They're waiting to hear this good news, so please log on to basicgospel.net as soon as you can and make a donation to help Basic Gospel keep the message of God's grace coming on the air and online. And when you make your gift, as Bob said, be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's excellent book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for the message of grace on Basic Gospel. And you can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Once again, the phone number, friends, 844-322-2742. It's open for you. That's the reason we do a live broadcast every day, so you can participate and get your question out there. You know, you never know when your question might reach someone else. So this is a great opportunity to call in right now at 844-322-2742 and let us talk it over with you. Well, Bob, we had this question from Brian. He says, in regard to the Ethiopian who was baptized by Philip, it says, and he ordered that the chariot stop, and they both went down to the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip baptized people in Samaria, including Simon the magician. But when they believed, Philip says he was preaching the gospel, or preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were being baptized. Peter and John came later and placed their hands on the people in Samaria, and they received the Holy Spirit. Question: the people who were baptized by Philip in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, were they saved, or were they saved only after John and Peter laid their hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit?
Well, that's a great question, and Brian, thanks for sending that to us via email. And when we look at Old Testament saints, for example, when we look at Abraham, it says that he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, Abraham did not receive the gift of the Spirit. Why? Because the gift of the Spirit had not yet been given, and that wasn't going to happen until after Christ died on the cross, after he had been resurrected, and then after he ascended into heaven. So we see that recorded for us in the book of John, John's 7th chapter. And John tells us that the Spirit was not going to be given until after Christ ascended. So these Old Testament saints, they were given righteousness. It was credited to their account. So they waited until that finished work. And we see their wait was rewarded by this eternal salvation, the same that you and I receive.
Right.
So I would think that these folks in Samaria who believed the preaching of Philip concerning Jesus and were baptized in the name of Jesus were credited righteousness. Why? Because they were believing God's testimony concerning his son. Well, it was only after Peter and John came to the area of Samaria that the Holy Spirit was given to the Samaritans. And I think this is just a beautiful picture of what God laid out, or what Jesus laid out to Peter. He said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and I want you to use those keys basically to unlock this gospel message to the people groups, unlock this salvation. Yeah. So on the day of Pentecost, certainly there were many standing there on that day of Pentecost who had believed in Jesus, who had looked upon Jesus as their Messiah, including the disciples.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit had not yet been given until that point. And so when Peter got up and preached the message, then the Holy Spirit fell upon the people.
Yeah.
And the Jews received the gift of God's Spirit. Well, as we look in the book of Acts, we see that this message was going to start in Jerusalem. It was going to spread to Judea and then to Samaria and then to the other ends of the earth.
Right.
Well, that's the pattern. So it started in Jerusalem. So the gift of the Spirit was given to the Jews there in Jerusalem at the Feast of Pentecost. And then in chapter 8, we see God opening that door and pouring out the Spirit upon the Samaritans. And Peter had to be there to unlock that door, to see the gift of God's Spirit being given to the Samaritans. And then he was on the scene when God opened the door and gave the gift of the Spirit to the Gentiles. So we see Peter in all three places. He was an eyewitness. Why? Because he had been given the keys to the kingdom. He basically used those keys to unlock that door so that the gift of God's Spirit could go to all these people groups.
Yeah.
Now, once that happened, once the Spirit had been given to the Jew, to the Samaritan, and then to the Gentile, from that point forward, every person that received the good news of Jesus, responded to the gospel message, was baptized by the Spirit, placed into the body of Christ, and then the Spirit of God came to dwell within that individual. So the moment, Brian, that you believed, God's Spirit came to dwell in you. The moment I believed, that happened as well. So we all stand together as one. We've all been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we are linked together by that union that we share
yeah.
with Christ. So I think it's interesting to really read the book of Acts and see how God opens that door to all the different people groups and fulfilling all the promises that he made in the Old Testament, especially to Abraham, that he was going to be the father of many nations.
Yeah.
Even to Hosea, he said, there's going to be a group who are not my people who become my people, who call upon my name. And we see that happening with the Samaritans and with the Gentiles. So we see that this gospel is for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile.
Brian, good to hear from you. Thanks for your question. And friends, if you have a question, we'd like for you to jump on a line right now at 844-322-2255. 2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, from YouTube viewer Jay, a question says, I feel like there's too much scripture against the once saved, always saved message. I would love to believe that, but just can't based on scripture. I'm with you on being against religion and any other man-made works, but we can't take it to the extreme and say that once we're saved, we can't forfeit our salvation.
Well, Jay, I'm sorry you believe that.
Yeah,
and
really.
Obviously, the scriptures that you are looking at, you're reading it from that bias, from that viewpoint that you can lose salvation. And so when you read some passages, you're saying, see, that passage fits with my interpretation. But when you understand the extreme nature of our salvation, the extremities that God went to save us, the extreme measures that he took, then we can rest assured that when he saves us completely, just as scripture says. So the thing that killed us to begin with was sin. Well, what did God do with sin? He dealt with it. He took it away once and for all. And once we receive him, he gives us his life. Well, here's the good news. His life is an indestructible life. So we're going to live as long as Christ does. And since his life is indestructible, our life is indestructible. And one day we're going to really see that in its full scope and its full measure when we put on these new spiritual bodies, which Paul describes as immortal and imperishable. So this salvation that we have is complete. It's guaranteed because of the work of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. We may sin tomorrow, and the reason we're not going to lose our salvation based on that sin is because Jesus has already dealt with that sin. He already bore that sin in his body, and he died to release you from the bond that you had to sin and death. So you're a free man. And not only that, you went from death to life, and God has sent his spirit to take up residence in you, and you are now joined together as one. You're in union with God. And no one can break that union. No one can separate you from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's just an impossibility. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. No one can snatch you out of Jesus's hands. That's the salvation that we have. So we have to recognize the extreme measures that God took to secure our salvation and then to preserve our salvation.
Yeah.
So we are confident, we can be confident on the day of judgment because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the fact that our life is his life,
yeah,
that
absolutely.
He has given us his life, and when he appears, guess what? We're going to appear with him as well.
Indeed. That is good news. And, Jay, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And, friends, as we said at the top of the broadcast, we're 4 days away from the start of our United Bible Conference. And if you haven't yet registered yet, if you're not planning to attend, well, I assure you, you're going to miss something very, very special. It's Bob and Andrew, two of God's very best proponents of God's grace and Jesus Christ and our identity in him as they unite in mission and in message. What else really do I need to say beyond the message? This will be the final conference for Bob and me, and as for Basic Gospel itself, as at the end of the year, the ministry will unite with Andrew Farley as he carries the torch of God's grace forward into the new year of 2022. So, folks, we want you to be there to see us and allow us to see you during this final conference under the banner of Basic Gospel. We hope you'll log in today at basicgospel.net/united and get registered for the conference starting this very Friday. Again, register at basicgospel.net/united.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Frida. Hi, Frida.
Hey, Frida.
Hi, Bob. Thank you guys for taking my call. I know I'm kind of calling back to back, But a quick question. I've heard people say, which is something I don't believe, but some people will say that there was two different Gospels, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. But did the mystery that was given to Paul about the Gentiles being grafted in by faith, was that what made the gospel as, you know, like being unified, where there was no Jew or no Gentile? Like, where did people come up with this, like, two different gospels for the Jew and a Gentile?
Well, that's a good question, Frieda, but there is a wing of dispensationalism that believes that. They believe that there are two people groups who respond to God. There's two destinies, two different destinies for those two different groups. And they divide the groups like this. There's Israel, so there's a plan of God for Israel, and then there's the church, and there's a plan of God for the church. And for each group, there's a different message that God uses to save them. For Israel, it is a faith plus works gospel, which, according to Paul, is no gospel at all. And then for the church, it is simply by grace through faith. So they go to all these divisions, and it's all based on their, I think, faulty interpretation of a passage out of Timothy where it says that we are to rightly divide the word of God. And that passage really means we're to accurately handle the word of God. So Paul, I think, puts an end to all that nonsense in his letter to the Galatians when he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, anything other than that is a distortion of the gospel, which makes it no gospel at all. So there's one gospel. There has always been only one gospel. God has always saved by grace through faith. It has always been in response to his testimony concerning his son. And that plan of salvation has been in place before the very foundations of this world. So there's one gospel. This one gospel unites us, and we're going to be united as one forever in Christ because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes so much sense. And I so appreciate your answer, because I've even heard people say that repentance and being born again was never for the new covenant believer. That was just something for the Jewish people. So it's that, yeah. Stuff like that is it kind of confuses you, even though you know it's not true. But you still wonder about it, because they say those are Jewish terms that only the Jewish people would understand.
Yeah. Well, you said the right word. It confuses you. And whenever you use that word, you have to know that God is not the author of that. So if something confuses you, you need to step back and take a good look at it and let the Lord teach you.
Thank you, Frieda. We'll talk to you again later. Thanks for your question. Have a great day. Well, friends, that's it for this edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you'll go online and register for the United Conference starting this Friday. It'll be our final conference for Basic Gospel friends, and we want you to be a part of the ministry's history. So come and be with us. Register now at basicgospel.net/united. And remember, it's because of you that we're here every weekday bringing this good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ, and your help is vital, of course. Donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, request your copy of Andrew's book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thanks for your support of this ministry called Basic Gospel, and again, the big prominent donate link is right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Finally, if you have a Bible question or personal issues you'd like us to discuss, give us a call overnight at 844-322-2742, and we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.